All right. What's next? We got baptism. Well, I'm doing good tonight. Baptism, premillennialism. Oh, this is a good one. What about a second chance for the lost? How many of y'all know anybody that believes that even if they make a mess out of this life, they're going to get a chance to straighten it out and fix it up when they meet God? I know all kinds of folks who believe that. Turn your Bible to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Now, here's the idea. People believe that they do the best they can. They endure to the end. If their good outweighs their bad, they make it in. But if for some reason they don't do well and they die in bad shape, when they finally meet God, God's going to give them a chance to straighten it out. Now, God's not going to give you a chance to straighten it out. If you die in your sins, you're going to hell. If you're ever going to straighten it out, you better straighten it out while you're breathing. Because once your body assumes room temperature, you're either in heaven or in hell, and there ain't nothing you or anybody else can do about it. Now, Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 3. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth, and if the trees fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. Principle involved. You say, well, it's talking about a tree. I understand that. You go out in the woods, and there's a big tall oak, and Hugo comes through and blows it down. And wherever it falls, that's where it stays. Now, the principle is this. Wherever you end up, when this life is over, that's where you stay. Amen. You're not going to get a second chance. Nobody's going to pick the tree up and throw it the other direction. Now, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, "For it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment." No second chances. There's no reincarnation. There's no 100 times to get it straight. You know, all them folks who believe in reincarnation stuff, they allow 50 to 60 to 100,000 years for you to slowly but surely evolve up the spiritual scale until you finally become one with this great unknown entity up in the sky. You might have to go through 20 or 30,000 lifetimes before you're good enough to join with this spiritual being. Now, pal, I don't know about you, but there ain't no way in the world they're going to bribe me into doing this again. Once is enough. Now, that Bible is emphatic. If that verse means what it says and says what it means, there are no second chances, there are no repeats. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, after death, judgment. You are going to face God Almighty. We shall all give an account of ourselves for the deeds done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. One shot. You got it right now. You either get right with God by receiving Jesus Christ and get saved while you're alive, or you die in your sins and you spend eternity in hell. That's the only options there are. Now, they say, well, where do people get that idea? Well, they get it from Romans chapter 11. Turn over there for a minute. Romans chapter 11. This comes from stealing stuff that don't belong to you. Romans chapter 11. What was I just at? Wasn't I in Ecclesiastes or something? Yeah. All right, turn to Romans chapter 11. I'm looking for something else. I'll be with you there in just 1 minute. Romans chapter 11. Now, when you get to Romans chapter 11, I want you to look down verse 23. And they also, if they abide, not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted in contrary to nature, into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part hath happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion a deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Now the discussion there, Romans chapter 11, is God in the past, somewhere back down the road, God had a chosen people called Israel, and because of disobedience and unbelief, God took them out of the picture and began to deal with the Gentiles. That's what we call the Gentile church. That happened when Jesus Christ hung on Calvary's cross, shed His blood. In Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes and on the day of Pentecost, and the church commences. And from that day forward, we have been in the church age, a Gentile church. God quit dealing with the nation of Israel. Now, the day is coming when God will be through with the Gentiles, and the rapture of the church takes place, and the church goes home to glory, and then God quits dealing with the nation of with the Gentile nations, and begins to deal again with the nation of Israel. And the tribulation period is primarily a time in which God pours out His wrath on Israel for their wickedness and their unbelief. And so it appears that somebody gets a second chance, because they were the natural branch, they were the olive tree. God cut them off, grafted us in contrary to nature. Then He's going to take us out of the way and begin to deal with the natural olive tree again. He's going to graft them back in so they get a second chance. And so that's where people get the idea that there's a second shot at it. Well, in the first place, you better remember who it is gets the second chance. It's not the kind of chance everybody thinks it is. But if it were, it wouldn't be you. The Gentiles were grafted in contrary to nature, and after a while, they get cut off, and God begins to deal with the original group, Israel. They get the second chance. Unless you're a Jew, there wouldn't be a second chance for you anyhow. The second chance is for the nation of Israel. Now, secondly, that thing does not have anything to do with individuals. It's a national restoration. It's when God begins to deal with a race of people as His people. Individual Jews are still going to die and go to hell. There's going to be a lot of Jews in the tribulation that don't get saved. But as a whole, as a nation, they're going to turn to God. Now, it said over in Corinthians, it talks about blindness in part had happened unto Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. That is, the average Jew today does not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They think you're crazy. I've got some very good Jewish friends, Joel and David Dressner, on OK Pawn Shop over there. I've been good friends with them for years and years. And they are Jews. And if you bring up the subject of Christianity, man, they get on your case. They tell me all the time, well, preacher, you got more to believe than we do. First time I heard that, I said, well, why is that? He said, well, we just believe in God. He said, you got to believe in God and this guy Jesus. You know, he thinks our system of belief is a lot more complicated than his. And if you tell him that unless you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to die and go to hell. They got a sister named Janice. I mean, she just absolutely goes ballistic, because her mom and dad are both dead, and they both died Orthodox Jews. So if I tell them about Jesus Christ, I immediately put her mom and dad in hell. And boy, does she ever get hot. I mean, whew, that little girl can smoke, boy. So, you know, you've got to watch how you say some of that stuff. But the truth is, God dealt with Israel. God cut them off. God is dealing with the Gentiles. He is going to cut them off, and He's going to graft them back in. But it's talking about the whole nation. Blindness in part had happened to Israel, the whole group. And so as a nation, God will remove the blindness, and as a nation, they will realize that Jesus Christ was in fact the Messiah, and as a nation, they will turn to God. Now, just because they turn as a nation, that does not mean every individual in that nation receives Jesus Christ. That's like people say, this is a Christian nation, or this nation was founded on Christian principles. Sure it was. But that doesn't mean everybody that was on the Mayflower was saved. Amen. And if you say, of course, it's a real stretch today to say America's a Christian nation. It's a real stretch to say America's a Christian nation. It's amazing what America doesn't believe anymore. I was listening to Rush Limbaugh today, and he was asking this question. He was going to give 8 tithes. I really wanted those tithes. But he's going to give 8 tithes to anybody that could answer this question. And the question was this. He said, who was Nicole Brown Simpson? And so everybody calls in, you know, and says it's the wife of O.J., blah, 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 and all. And of course, all those answers are wrong. And so finally, this guy calls in. He said, I know who Nicole Brown Simpson was. And the rest says, okay, who was Nicole Brown Simpson? And he said, she was one of the victims in the Mark Furman trial. He said, that's right. And he gave him the... Oh, what that's got to do with nothing. I just happened to think of that. I thought it was hilarious. That just shows what kind of a mess we're in. America's whacked out. Okay, so there was no second chance for you. You had your chance while you're alive. God gives you light, and the Holy Spirit brings conviction, and you receive Jesus Christ and you get saved and go home to glory, or you reject Jesus Christ and you die and you go home to hell. And if you die saved, you'll always be saved. And if you die lost, you're going to always be lost. If you go through the fiery gates of the region of the damned, you ain't ever coming out. All right.